Welcome to our next episode of SME Funding. My name is Lynette Nduli, the CEO of Innate Investment Solutions, and I'm joined as usual by Kumaran Padiachi. Kumaran, how are you doing?
Looking
very dapper today.
You too.
Thank you very much. This is the best looking funding show on TV right now. Well, today's subject is something that I think in the context of South Africa is one that funders as well as entrepreneurs are all looking at. The space in manufacturing and the space for industrialization. But more importantly, how do we fund these big projects? Kumaran and I today are going to explore a little bit about what is required, how to set ourselves up for success, what is happening in the market space related to manufacturing, to localization and industrialization. And hopefully we're going to come up with a few solutions today that are going to help get more and more South African businesses into this priority sector. So Kumaran, as the show started earlier this morning, we were chatting about this big buzzword, industrialization. And we were chatting about the opportunities that exist, but also the huge capital amounts that are needed to make it a success, not just for the South African economy, but also for the businesses that have the greatest potential to move into the space. Just how much funding do you think is available at the moment, both in the private sector and the public sector, to help SMEs in particular move into this big space?
For manufacturing, there's a lot of incentives and a lot of grants and a lot of funding that's available. However, it's a paradox, not necessarily for all aspects of the requirements and not necessarily for all phases of the requirements. So there's a lot more niche funders that are out there that one needs to find, like trade finances and the like. So let me give you an example. Some of the incentives and grants that are available from government for manufacturing relate to certain specific subsectors or aspects, like it could be car manufacturing or it could be on the solar side. As an example, I'm just throwing these out as examples. So it may not cover the wide spans of manufacturing. So that's one. Number two, manufacturers, if you go and look into their various needs that they have, and we're going to go into that into the show in a few minutes, working capital is probably a massive one that's a big gap. And though there are funders for working capital within manufacturers, that's generally where a lot of the problems are, in my view.
All right. So, Kumaran, with that context given that there is a lot of funding in the market, but I suppose the entry into that market space is very limited. Often the barriers to entry into manufacturing are very high still from a South African context. What role do you think funding institutions could play a little bit better in making sure that there's better traction for entrepreneurs who are moving into this particular space?
It's always difficult to say what a funder should do.
Is it education, perhaps? Is it skills development in the space? What's lacking, if you'd think about it, as a funder who has maybe seen some manufacturing businesses come into your
place? I would like to shift it to say it's more on the entrepreneur. Because the funders, they would, to survive as a business, a funder is going to communicate, they're going to market, they're going to put out there what they offer for the sector and what it entails. So maybe they could do that a little bit more, you know, by raising the awareness. The issue for me is on the entrepreneur, the SME, to go out and research and find these very manufacturing-specific funding options. I would like to talk about what are the typical funding needs that a manufacturing business has, and use some examples of that, and that can be the frame in which we can then talk about the funding challenges and how to go about that. Shall we do that?
Let's go for it.
All right. So let's look at a typical manufacturing business. It's any business that makes a thing, right?
Yes.
And that can be in a wide form. It could either be doing process manufacturing, which is making lots of specific raw materials that it's just processing a little bit, like a steel pipe as an example, just as a simple example. Or it could be doing, if it's not process manufacturing, discrete manufacturing, where it's making a complete unit, you know, a complete device. And so what are the typical needs against that? One is, in setting up a manufacturing business, generally the premises ends up being a big issue.
Yes.
Because the manufacturer requires specific needs that are very different from a normal office. Mm. It has to be located near arterial roads or maybe a railway track, depending on the type of business. Mm. And it may have certain health and safety requirements. So the property becomes a very big thing. Mm. Second, it starts needing to buy expensive plant and machinery. Mm. And it can't move every couple of years. So the decision around the property, given this expensive plant and machinery, generally an integrated decision, right? So sometimes they tend to buy their property, not always, but at some point. So the property requirements is one big one. The equipment manufacturing, it's all about equipment, right?
Yes.
Massive equipment that needs to be bought every 10, 15 years perhaps. And so that generally is a massive funding requirement. Mm-hmm. And one would typically approach the banks and non-banks for that. But every time a manufacturing business wants to go to the next chapter, it requires, I need another 10 million rand worth of equipment. Mm. And that's at those next break points or chapter points is when they struggle.
All this expansion is where the struggle is. Right.
Then after it's set up, it's got all this manufacturing plant and equipment and machinery, then it needs to buy raw materials, either buy it locally or it's going to import them, right?
Yes.
And then put them into the factory and then do something to it and out comes something a bit more refined and completed. But then what are those requirements for that raw materials? Mm. It's got to buy it. If it imports it, it may take 3 months to come from the ship.
So there's a time factor
there. And you've got to outlay money up front.
Yes.
Let's say 1 million rand, right, with your suppliers. They may or may not give you terms. If they're overseas, they're certainly not going to give you terms very easy. Then you bring that stuff, the materials in, and it may take you a month to produce it. Mm-hmm. Who's paying you for that month? Nobody. Then you sell it to your distributor, your customer, and they may pay you 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. So just imagine that, you're bringing the stuff in, you need to working capital for 30 to 60 days for that, manufacturing it another 30 days on top of that, and then your terms to your customer another 30 to 60. It's potentially 150, 180 days, 6 months
of
working
time.
Capital cycle. Mm. And there's no funder that generally funds all elements of that together.
Yes.
So you would have to go to a trade financer. A bank may do that, but you also have non-banks that do trade financing just to help you bring in these raw materials, letter of credits and the like. And there's a lot of niche ones there.
So after the break, I'd really love to ask Kumaran, how do you finance time? Because definitely as you look at the manufacturing process, it's very time dependent. It often depends on moving items from a fixed date to a distributor and finally to your end client. And all of these things take, again, time. So when we get back after the break, I hope you continue to tune in and we're going to learn a little bit more about how to make sure we find viable manufacturing concerns in South Africa. Welcome back to SME Funding. Before the break, Kumaran and I were discussing the working capital requirements, but also the amount of time that is required to manufacture any goods and different products that go out into our space. Kumaran, how do you fund time? There's a lengthy process between the design and the ultimate output.
We're going to talk about that, but maybe I realized we should have started the episode by talking about some examples of the type of manufacturing business. So can I just do that
yes,
for us?
Yes, you may.
All right. So manufacturing can be someone making, if you're making a cup or making small things, or you could be a kitchen manufacturer.
You
can be making shoes. You can be all the way to a large engineering business that's supplying the manufacturing, car manufacturing industry. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need to be this massive industrial plant manufacturing.
Yes.
It can be someone operating in a 200 square meter little factory outlet. So
out of my garage, Kumaran.
That's it. Perfect. Exactly. And you're making widgets and you've got a few machines that are going. Manufacturing covers it all. And we are talking on the show about it all.
Yes. So, Kumaran, whether I'm in my garage making shoes, there's a time function to that, or I'm a very large industrial concern making, say, plasma screen TVs, how do I fund time? And how do I make sure that within the context of my business, my working capital needs and my capital funding needs, as far as possible, are synchronized to make sure that I can continue to manufacture, I can still get my materials on time, but I can also make sure that there's enough of my product in supply to my customers?
I would say, starting off by saying that manufacturing, that question about how you find time is a very important one. And for a manufacturing category business, it's even more important than probably any other sector or category. And it falls into two areas. One, before I talk about the funding, the first one is for you to have the right policies around your buying and your sales side. What that means is that the smarter you can negotiate with your suppliers in terms with terms, that helps you to carve a buffer for the time. So astute negotiating, astute sourcing and policies around the payment terms from your suppliers will help you go a long way. Also, payment terms with your customers. To the extent that you are lax on those two, that extends that time needed to now get a Santa Claus to come and help you, right? So, to the and conversely, to the extent that you can tighten those two up, it minimizes the time that needs to be funded. So that's the starting point. First order of business is start with the with those two sections, right? The second part is now, once you've done all of that, is now to go and find funding for the different elements to funding the time, your question. And manufacturing, the one side is now to get funding for the supply side, the materials. And there are specific niche funders that specialize in trade financing and supply chain financing around these raw materials and importing stuff from overseas and helping you with the letters of credit and the like. That's a specialty. It is a niche expertise all on its own. In fact, some of them go beyond that and help you with the logistics and the freight, shipping paperwork and all of that, right? And it's not generally the domain of banks. It's more the domain of those specialists. So I would suggest researching, and there's a good half a dozen credible companies here, and going and finding them and the way the right fit for you is. So that will fund the supply side. Then on the customer side is normal debtor financing or invoice discounting. But because it's likely to be a regular type of thing, you'd need to fund all your debtors. So I would suggest finding a good debtor financing house. Again, there are banks that do it. All four banks are involved in that. Also, they are niche funders that just do debtor financing. They're not banks. Credible, again, a good half a dozen, six credible ones. And find the fit that they have an appreciation for a manufacturing type of business. Because there are some that are more aligned to a retail type of business or a service type of business. And there's some that are more aligned to a manufacturing. And you'd find that fit. And so then those are the three ways you'd find the time on.
So if I think about it, and based on what you're explaining to me now, Kumaran, as a manufacturing concern, you may actually find yourself in a situation where you can't go to one type of funder.
Never.
You actually have to have hybrids of funding.
Never.
So you need perhaps a corporate finance house to look at your property and your equipment. You probably need then a trade financer to look at your goods your raw materials and how those are moved and the risk around them. You then also need somebody to take care of your debtor finance because you've got a customer base. And then you may need other specialized type of funding dependent obviously on how your business is geared. So you're never ever looking at one funder. It's not a one-stop shop in manufacturing.
Highly unlikely. Never is my answer for a manufacturer.
Okay. So you've also got to be very au fait then and able to move between all of these spaces. So over and above knowing the technical requirements of your business, you've also got to know who you're talking to for many, many different reasons. So, Kumaran, you spoke about perhaps the biggest expense in manufacturing being that infrastructure, your assets related to the property itself, where you manufacture, and of course, the equipment. How, what tip would you give our entrepreneurs at home about how to best leverage those assets? Because those assets, I think, are something that they can use as they finance other elements of their business as collateral. And
In time.
In time. And not immediately, you would say.
Well, let's, you're asking a great question. Okay. Let's compartmentalize it first into how they get it, how they can finance it to get it in the first place.
Okay.
And then after they finance it, your is your question, how then they can leverage that.
Okay.
So in financing it, those two categories, first of all, I would start off with looking for incentives.
Mm.
DTI and the like have certain incentives for manufacturing sector. You started off by talking about that. And perhaps a starting point is for the entrepreneur SME to talk to their accountant. Although I would rather advise going to a specialist consultant. They are consulting firms, again, Google it, that specialize in obtaining you these grants for a success fee.
Yes.
So they'll say, okay, I'll get you this grant and you pay me a fee or whatever it is. Mm. They're professional, they sometimes are divisions within the auditing or accounting firms, or they are standalone. And so that will allow you to help some buffer in acquiring the property, but if you can't acquire the property, just lease it.
Yes.
But then you've got to really be smart with the lease, I would suggest, right? Yes. So take a longer
term of the lease.
Because you can't move around this expensive equipment quite easily. And because you're taking a longer lease, I would advocate two things. Really zone in on the negotiation, because you want a better deal for a longer lease. And then put yourself in a position to have an option to purchase where the price formula is pegged. So that when you are in a position a few years later, you can then kick in and buy that property. And then and since you're going to be in that property eventually for a long time, it'll end up becoming freehold at some point.
At some point.
Or the balance with the bond would come down. Now that becomes an asset that you can offer as collateral for future round of funding, right? So that's how you acquire the some plant and machinery.
So something smart that I've also seen some manufacturing concerns get involved in over and above grants and incentives is also enterprise development programs with very large companies where they take advantage of the infrastructure. And I've particularly seen this, for instance, in the pharmaceutical space where somebody wants to make and manufacture, say, lotions or and perfumes.
They do that for the equipment.
And you use their labs to test your products.
So shared resources. Sharing the infrastructure.
Yes, yes.
That's
not a long-term
solution.
That's
more for startup manufacturing,
but it can certainly get your foot through the door.
That's appropriate for startup manufacturing.
And so, Kumaran, you were just closing a thought there in terms of once you've then acquired
the
assets.
We'll go into that after the break.
Now how do we leverage it? All right. Well, to our viewers at home, we'll be back after the break. And let's look at how we leverage all these building blocks to creating sustainable manufacturing concerns. We'll be right back. Welcome back to SME Funding. So before the break, Kumaran and myself were working on building assets for your business. Now, once you own these assets as a manufacturing business, how best can you leverage them? And Kumaran has a few tips for you, the viewer at home.
Yeah.
So Kumaran, I now own my assets. What's next? How can I use them to now begin to help me acquire other forms of capital finance as well as finance that I need for other needs in my business?
Well, the property is one and the equipment is the other. You've asked a very creative, you've asked a question that speaks to creativity that should be used in funding in a manufacturing or any business for that matter. So the property was one that we were discussing early on.
Yes.
If it is, if you can't buy it initially, lease it with an option, at some point get to buy it. And then because you're going to be in there for a long game, eventually that they will have some equity in the property, which can be used as a second mortgage bond. Second mortgage bond is still viable to be used as collateral to a funder. Maybe a bank won't like a second mortgage bond, but a niche funder will. And then the equipment that you were alluding to early on, you know. So this equipment, manufacturing equipment, does hold a certain value. It may be in the eye of the beholder, you know, because a wood manufacturing or a kitchen manufacturing business is going to be the only one that's going to buy kitchen manufacturing equipment, but it does hold value. It doesn't, it's not like technology where it simply tanks or whatever it is. It does depreciate in market value, but there is a little...
For a long enough time.
Yes. So you're going to fund this equipment initially with an equipment financer for 5 years, three to four, 5 years.
Yes.
But manufacturing equipment, most types, have a lifespan 10, 15, some of them longer years, right?
I think of printing presses.
Right, think of printing presses. Some of them are like 30 years old. Sure, it won't hold its original value. We've already established that. So after you've paid for it, it's freehold. Let's say it was 2 million rand. Yes. You funded it for 2 million rand for 5 years.
Yes.
In year six, it's obviously yours. Freehold. It's yours. It may be worth 500,000 rand.
Mm.
So you can do what's called a notarial bond, a general or specific or special notarial bond over that plant and machinery.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you can go to your bank or a non-traditional funder and say, listen, I've got five pieces of equipment. Collectively, I spent 5 million rand over it for the last 5 years. It's freehold now. It's now worth half of that, or 40% of that, of that 5 million, 2 million rand in total.
And that's 2 million rand you didn't have.
Right. So can I give this to you as collateral?
Yes.
Because over and above whatever else you have, if something goes wrong, you can take this equipment and you have a special legal paperwork. It's registered. It's a notarial bond. It's a proper legal agreement around that. And the bank can then take that, or funder can take that and sell it at an auction. Mm. And it does provide some value.
It does.
So this is a creative way to...
So there's a lot of creativity in thinking through the funding of a manufacturing process, because you have to be thinking at so many different levels in this particular game.
Yes.
All right. So, Kumaran, as we were building up on this particular topic, we were also starting to say, well, now, how do I fund myself for success? And what are the things that particularly SMEs in the manufacturing space need to be very, very aware of and detailed about in their funding applications?
There are a number of things that are peculiar to the manufacturing business, and a funder will want to know that you've got that covered.
Yes.
So the starting point will be you should have a very strong financial competency in the business.
Mm.
And that could be a financial director or a financial manager. I would say financial manager may not even be good enough. And if you can't afford beyond the financial manager, leverage and have a good relationship with your chartered accountant, your auditing firm, or your accounting firm.
I'm thinking back to university, and I'm just thinking about cost accounting.
Yes.
And how much we did in that space about
work in progress.
In that space. So you actually need somebody who's not just good at finances, but numerically gifted
all
in counting units and widgets.
Those are very different. Those things you
mentioned,
all those terms are spot on. Very different from a normal Joe business, right?
Uh-huh.
And if you are not speaking to those things, already the funder is like, hey, hang on, you're clueless here.
Mm.
And then typically manufacturing businesses need, there's a more emphasis on the budgets and the forecasting compared to a normal business. It's important in all businesses, but very much more in manufacturing, because you're applying for some kind of big intervention funding for plant and machinery or something, and to say this is what the step change is going to be.
Mm.
So that implies now you need to forecast. And the level of forecasting detail with all those terms that you just mentioned, break even, ABC costing, cost account, all those kinds of stuff have become very important. So your numeracy and financial intelligence around a manufacturing business is very specific, and you got to know your stuff.
In that department,
Then there's a lot of macro risks. You spoke about in the beginning when we started this episode about foreign exchange, importing duties, this, that, and the other. So that implies opportunity, but also risk. So your proposal, your plan, your ability to answer questions on that has got to be very spot on. So there are a lot more considerations and moving parts and variables in a manufacturing business, and you've got to know your stuff.
You've also got to surround yourself with the best possible team that can make sure that these moving parts don't eclipse you.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Kumaran, we've had a lot to digest here today. But as we close off, what is your tip of the week?
So for manufacturing business, we already established that there cannot be one singular funder that covers all your needs in this chain. So my tip for manufacturing business is articulate and place the different funding requirements in the from establishing to the raw materials to the different timelines, and go out and find appropriate fit funders for those different elements. If you do that, you will optimize your funding as a manufacturing business.
Completely. Thank you very much to you, Kumaran. Well, I'm happy to note that my second year of cost accounting did not go to waste on this show. To our audience at home, we invite you to share your thoughts, and to share your questions with us about this topic and other topics related to some of the funding opportunities and challenges you currently face. You can follow this conversation on social media at funding_SME. You can also email us on smefunding@bdtv.co.za. We're particularly looking for people who have successfully funded an element or all of their business, or those of you who are currently grappling with the process of acquiring funding. And we'd love for you to possibly join us on the SME Funding Couch to chat about your experiences in this field. You're also welcome to watch previous episodes of SME Funding on YouTube as well as the Business Day TV website. We look forward to being back on the couch with you again on the next episode of SME Funding. Thank you very much for joining us.